We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Did you play Nutbush City Limits yet? All right. There's one. I'll continue to give you a list. We have Garrett Dieter and Anthony Sherman in studio. What do you say, fellas? How you doing?
Top of the morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing really, really well. Garrett Dieter, we had a great graduation party at Chicken and Pickle. Thank you for the help. What a great place to have a party. Great hosts. We had a blast.
Love it. There's no better place. Nice, beautiful day outside. Get over Chicken and Pickle. The vibes are good. The vibes are always good.
Let me throw something at you. So you see that the biggest fight in boxing possible has been agreed upon, has been agreed to this week between Terrence Bud Crawford out of Omaha and Errol Spence Jr. from Dallas, Texas, two undefeated welterweights for the Undisputed Welterweight Championship of the World, July 29th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so someone just threw it out there. Man, that's the kind of fight that you have a watch party for.
Can't beat a nice combat sports watch party when it's a big-time fight, especially like that.
We'll fill it.
Hey, I'm all about it.
Fill it up. So I'm just, you know.
Let's make it happen.
I'm just letting you know.
If you're going to come, I'll put it on.
July 29th. Let's talk. Let's just at least talk about it. Let's throw it around.
Let's do it.
Don't think you're going to go?
I want to, but that'd be a tough ticket.
Yeah.
But I want to. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I feel a little frisky, huh?
I think a watch party hosted by Stephen St. John at Chicken and Pickle, though, is a can't-miss opportunity.
Watch parties over the years, so I'm just trying to, you know.
Any decent undercard fights on that thing?
They haven't announced it. They will. It'll be good enough. But you know what? That
Jake Paul?
People want to watch that. I wish that would be great. People want to watch that fight so bad that the undercard won't even matter. But it'll be good.
It's good. Boxing needs that. Boxing needs to put the big dogs against the big dogs.
Let's get right to it. Anthony Sherman. Andy Reid was asked about the fullback yesterday. And you know, the guy that started all the trouble is Jesse Newell, who comes to the studio after you. See if you want to give him
what did he say?
He brought up the
question.
And I feel like he brought it up because he hears us talking about driving in. He comes to see, you know, he knows that's a hot button topic for us.
Yeah.
Okay. And so did you already hear the comments?
I have not.
Okay. Fresh comments for your ears. Did you hear the comments?
I did.
We're going to play them. And I just want to get reaction from you and then let Gary Dieter answer.
Oh, great. Yeah. Awesome.
Here is the excitement is
when
palpable.
When you say awesome, do you really mean awesome?
No, I would rather have Gary probably not in studio today, but
here
that's okay.
Is Jesse Newell asking Andy Reid about the fullback position.
Andy, it seems like you've always kept the fullback, but obviously Michael Burton gone. What are your plans for him?
Yeah, so the tight ends can work into that spot. We know Noah can do all of that, and that's kind of where we went with it. We've got a number of tight ends that we feel comfortable with, so maybe you keep an extra tight end as opposed to that fullback.
The fullback thing, you've had guys here, and that's been a staple of what you guys do. You mentioned that you have a lot of times that it can do that. Could you see yourself ever going back to having a fullback, or is it a sea change for you to not have one on the roster?
Yeah, we normally don't have the number of tight ends that we've got here, so... I would go back. I mean, that's not a problem. We liked what we had last year with it, but again, we were always without the injuries. We were going to have to juggle that last year somehow. So, the guys got banged up.
Anthony Sherman.
Was that Lebo that asked the question?
Mm-hmm. The follow-up, yeah.
The follow-up question. I like that. No, yes. That's my guy right there.
Todd Lebo.
Yeah, he asked the right question. Yeah, no, it's not a good moment for the Kansas City Chiefs to not have a fullback, but...
A sad day in franchise history.
It is. I mean, there's been a lot of great fullbacks that have come through those doors in Arrowhead, and for not to have one right now, honestly, the last couple of years, Burton really hadn't been used too much.
He's a Bronco.
And if you do have some great tight ends in there, and if you can keep all those guys around together, I mean, it isn't a terrible thing, but I don't know. It's a lot different running through the line trying to get after a blocker than at the line of scrimmage. The guy, I mean, yeah, you have to move, but it's a lot different than you have to read an offensive line, read the defensive rush, and then actually get through to your block compared to that guy being maybe outside shade, head up, or inside when you might be working with a tackle.
It was kind of a throwaway comment, but you heard him say, "And Noah can do all that." So can you think Noah Gray can do all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could. I think especially if he gets the reps down during training camp and really, I mean, right now there's not going to be many fullback plays in because you're in just helmets, so you're not going to have a lot of that goal line stuff. And we'll see if short yardage and goal line they give the fullback the ball as much as they have been and see if he can get a yard or not. Maybe they'll have to make a phone call to some people.
By the way, Gary Dieter, someone just tweeted and reminded me that also July 29th, that same night, is UFC 291, which will feature the rematch between Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje.
A lot of good fights, boys.
Now, what do you say about the fullback position and based on what Andy Reid just had to say?
I mean, I hate to say it, but that's what I said a couple months ago. I mean, I felt confident during that time, and having Coach Reed back me up a little bit, I think he heard my comments and was like, man, that Dieter kid's
doggone it.
He's got something. He's got something.
You think Gary Dieter's words
that son of a buck
influenced Andy Reid when maybe Andy heard, like, doggone it?
Yeah, no. No, he did not listen to Gehrig and not using a fullback.
Buddy, you're talking about short yardage, give it to the fullback. That's not a thing anymore. They give it to Pat, let him roll out, let him make a play. When's the last time they gave fullback? It was when you played. I said you were last of a dying breed.
They gave Burton.
And he got rocked.
Well, I mean, he runs too high. That's a different story.
I'm just saying, buddy, it's a wasted position. Like Coach Reed said, they have so many tight ends now.
Well, I mean, yeah, for sure it's a wasted position now when the NFL goes to the kickoff rules.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why I said during the season. I said it's a waste of a roster spot.
If you could play special teams.
Is it wrong to say Burton did not play up to the high standard that you set in the Chiefs uniform?
I have no idea.
Come on,
he is a Denver Bronco, I would say no. I mean, I would say no. He ran the ball too high.
Right. He was no sausage.
He didn't look like he understood that that one run play he did. He just kind of took a neck roll in there. No neck roll. It's hard to get in a 3-point stance
with the neck roll
and make sure you can still have eyes up to see what's going on defense.
Yeah, I love Burt. Burt's really funny, great guy. But I don't like when fullbacks are jumping over guys doing spin moves. Like, buddy, I need to put the helmet shoulder pads down and just. You need to make a statement.
This isn't a glamour position.
Keep moving your legs.
Yeah.
Keep moving your legs. Keep driving the pile.
Take that 250 and run him over.
Buddy, you're a big boy. I want to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all right, though. Fullbacks are dead. Been saying it.
Wow.
Still saying it. It's all right, Sherm. Like, you should take that as a compliment. Like, man, they don't make them like me anymore.
Like forever? Or do you think, like, you know, a couple years?
It'll be like.
Come back?
Yeah, it'll make a comeback eventually. It's like anything. Everything makes a comeback eventually.
I wonder how many teams in the league. We'd have to look it up. How many have an actual fullback on the roster and how many don't?
Well, the Broncos. You know?
Broncos got one.
Yeah, I mean.
49ers.
Ravens.
You can't count. I don't count.
You don't count him?
No, he's a good guy, but he's
he's a finesse guy?
Yeah.
He don't do the dirty work.
What is he? Is he a tight end playing fullback?
He's like,
a real H-back.
Yeah.
He can do both pretty well. He's a great pass catcher out of the backfield, and he can make some plays. He's just I don't consider him a fullback.
Yeah.
Now, Richie from Baltimore, he's a fullback. He's downhill.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big boy.
Yeah.
You've big got, sub a buck.
You know, there's a I think there's a lot of guys, and I don't actually know the number of teams, but I think there's a lot of guys that have fullbacks on the roster. I mean, Green Bay, for a long time, I think had like two or three of them on the roster with Kuhn and the rest of them.
Minnesota, C.J. Ham.
Oh, he's good.
He's good.
That's a real fullback.
Yeah.
According to SpoTrack, there are 22 active fullbacks in the league right now.
Derek Watt with Pittsburgh.
So they're not extinct. They're just maybe slightly endangered.
Yeah, I would say they're endangered. I don't think they're utilized. I mean, Patriots have one. The Raiders have one. So, yeah, I mean, there's teams that use them. I don't know if they're used
they're
as much
winning,
as they
though.
Used
they're
to be.
They're not winning games, those teams that you just named. It's a waste of position,
the
buddy.
The Chiefs have won with a fullback on the roster.
Yeah, but he wasn't used.
I feel like the first Super Bowl Chiefs winning team had a running play at the end of the game that went right behind the fullback for the touchdown that salted the game away.
Yeah, last of a dying. Yeah, when Sherm was there.
Yeah,
that's when you could trust the fullback.
Oh, I appreciate it, Gary.
Buddy, I'm just trying to compliment you.
No, I get it. I'm just
you should take that as
so. But what if a young Anthony Sherman came along? They would have a fullback position. Is it based that they just don't have the right guy, or they're just phasing out the position?
I just don't think
Sherman was what 7 or 8 years younger. They'd have a fullback.
Yeah. I just don't think it's like the Chiefs fit anymore, especially with Pat quarterback and the offense that they run. They're not ever lining up with a fullback and a running back there and handing the ball off 20 times a game. It's just not going to happen.
Is that because they have more talent at the tight end position and they don't have the fullback that they want right now?
I just think
that could be it, but I think again it's the tight ends. Like
tight ends.
You have five tight ends that are starter caliber tight ends on any other team. That you want to keep them around because they're going to be more vital to the offense if someone gets banged up or someone to just fill in those 4 or 5 plays a game that you might get.
All right, let's talk about another interesting topic. You guys both were important parts of special teams when you played for the Chiefs. Andy Reid was asked about the new kickoff rules that have been criticized quite a bit since they were announced on Tuesday. The new rule, which is voted on by league owners, will implement a 1-year trial where kick returners can call for a fair catch anywhere inside their team's 25-yard line, and it will result in a touchback with the ball placed at the 25-yard line as opposed to the 20-yard line. Here is what Andy Reid had to say when he was asked about the new rule.
I don't know. We'll have to go through all that. My thing is, where does it stop, right? So you start taking pieces, and, we'll see how this goes. But you don't want to take too many pieces away, you'll be playing flag football.
Take too many pieces away, you're playing flag football. Now, a major factor of the new kickoff rules, as the NFL said, its statistical models predict the return rate for kickoffs for the upcoming season will drop from 38% to 31%.
What are they calling it? Player safety?
Yeah, the rate of concussions on kickoffs will be reduced by 15% because of this rule.
Yeah, let me go into this a little bit here. So they get rid of kickoff because of player safety. They cut practice times in half because of player safety. They talk about all they throw little things in there, the NFL, because it's all about money. They throw little things in there about player safety. Yet, they make teams go overseas to play, which is not, it's a 10-hour flight. Then you come back and possibly could play the next week. Two, now they make, hey, we're going to move games because it's all about money. Thursday night football starts, where now you get teams to get 3 days off. They have to play again. So that's not player safety. And then another thing is now they're going to flex teams to get another week of Thursday night because of the money that has at stake. So as much as they talk about player safety, they throw that out there. They say that. But the NFL and the owners, all they care about is how much money they can make off of this. You've got people that save up for season tickets or save up to games to go to Arrowhead, yet they move a game from Arrowhead to go overseas. The people, the fans don't like. They don't get a game at Arrowhead that they've worked hard to watch, because the NFL wants to care about how much money they can make overseas in a game compared to having a home game.
Now, one of the most attractive games in Arrowhead.
Yeah, I mean, it's
ripped
ridiculous.
From our clutches.
Player safety, yet we're going to make you go short weeks with 28 days notice. We're going to cut practice time, but we're going to add another game to the season. It's all about money for them.
Gary Dieter, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm right on board with Sherm. I think they're doing a lot of things, and like Coach Reese said, where does it stop? You know, you never really know what they're thinking with the player safety deal, and I mean, it seems like special teams is just going to be non-existent. I mean, kickoffs were already almost, like you said, what was it, 38% touchbacks or 38% returns. So, right. I mean, it's a touchback every other time. And it's, I mean, my last year, I felt like with the Chiefs, it was like kickoffs. We knew we were just going to kick touchbacks. And same thing, like you practice it all week and you get to the game and it's like we're literally kicking touchbacks. So it's just a waste of a play. And now it's probably going to be even worse. I mean, you can have a bad kick and a guy can just fair catch and boom, you get the ball on the 25. So what team wouldn't do that? Now, I feel like Chiefs were always pretty – Tobe is pretty aggressive on kickoff return, I should say, and he wants to bring it out if it's not five deep. So it'll be interesting to see what their philosophy is, if they just want to take the ball at the 25, which he didn't want to do. He wanted to always take that risk of getting a return in. So it'll be interesting, but – I don't think, like Coach Reed said, where's the stop? Would you watch football if it turns into flag football? I mean, that's kind of the route it's going.
I'm getting close to stop watching it now.
Buddy, I mean, it's close. I mean, what do you think? Like 5-10 years, they're going to keep making these.
Yeah, but how many things are they going to say for player safety to get rid of, yet they're going to just keep adding games and adding different time frames and different days of the week you play? Like, they throw some nice things out there, yet they do these things under the table that are not great for the players.
If you got paid more, would you care?
Well, you will, right? Because yeah. Because if this the whole CBA is based on a percentage of the revenue, right?
Well, then get rid of player safety. Then stop talking about player safety.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't talk about player safety, yet add a game, add the flexed Thursday night football, add Thursday night football in general, but that – We're all about player safety.
Yeah, it's player safety when it doesn't affect revenue.
Correct.
So they'll find the rules they can make to make it safer so that you can play more games because that gets you more money.
The flex proposal, by the way, that was approved has some restrictions. The games flexed in and out of the Sunday night slot. Flexes are only permitted during the final five eligible weeks of the regular season, weeks 13 to 17.
That's the worst time to have a game flexed to a short week.
Two games per season can be flexed, but still, like, New York Giants' John Mara, Pittsburgh Steelers' Art Rooney blasted the proposal and voted against it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with stuff like that, it shouldn't be in the owner's hands. Like they don't have, all they look at is dollar signs and getting another primetime game and how much money they can get for parking and sales and beer sales and everything else. It should be the coaches that have to not go home to see their family because if it's a short week, because they have to be there to game plan and get ready. It's the players that come off of injury 1 week and then are trying their hardest to get back on the field and can't because it's a Thursday night at the end of the year when everyone's banged up and hurt. I'm getting sick of the both sides they're trying to play.
In March, the resolution had a 15-day requirement as far as how long the notice was, and now games can only be flexed with at least 28 days notice.
Yeah, but it's still a short week. It's still it doesn't matter when you tell the team. Like, they might have it, like, you know you always want to look at the third for like the Chiefs. It was. When we were playing, it was always like, hey, when our bye was and when was our mini bye with the short week? And you'd always want that. Like, it was awesome the year we had it the second week against Denver. You weren't here yet. It was – we played the Sunday. We came back home, played Thursday, and it was the second week of the season. So now at that point you were done with that weird schedule, weird timing, and all of that stuff, and you just get back onto your Sunday or Monday games.
So let's take it from a different angle because one of the things we talked about, you're like saying, hey, do you want to watch the games? if it goes toward flag football. So I think it brings up a really interesting question, because they have done so much to reduce the violence of the game. It's still a very violent game, obviously, but compared to what it was in the 80s when you could just body slam quarterbacks and you could a safety could just smash a guy coming across the middle of the field. Now he's got to hit the strike zone and all those things. The game is more popular now than it's ever been, even though they've done all those things. But I'm curious what you guys think when it keeps heading that direction. How important are special teams to, like, take the player aspect away from it as a fan? Now that you're a fan watching the game, how much does the kickoff add to your enjoyment of the? I think kickoffs are awesome. I love watching kick returns. I hate the idea of getting rid, because what they're really trying to do is get rid of them, right? Yeah. They're just trying to make it more and more incentivized to where there's more touchbacks and we don't have to worry about guys smashing each other. I think kickoffs an exciting part of the game. How much does it damage your enjoyment of the game as a fan watching it if we don't have kickoffs?
I feel like, in the past couple of years especially, you're just seeing more and more touchbacks, so you almost forget about what kickoffs and kickoff returns look like. My second year, I remember how big that aspect of the game was against the Patriots in the AFC Championship.
Put it this way, the Houston game,
yeah,
we had a big return from McColl.
Mm-hmm.
That jump-started the comeback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and mind you, we had a fumble recovery on a kickoff.
Yeah.
That swung the momentum.
Yeah.
And we took the ball and ran down to the 5 and then scored the next play. So you lose these opportunities to make impact plays and or momentum in a game with a big return.
And I feel like it's turning into, for me as a fan, because a lot of times they'll do, like, there's a touchdown, commercial break, kickoff, commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's just like, that's just one long commercial break for me. That's when I'm going to go to the restroom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do some stuff around the house or whatever, because the kickoff return isn't even worth watching because they're just going to kick it out of the end zone anyway.
Yeah.
And I do. I'm with you guys. I think that damages the product. Maybe people don't miss it, but I think it's an awesome part of the game.
People overseas are going to be upset. And that was the only time they used to get fired up in those games.
Yeah, kickoffs are exciting.
By the way, you mentioned that Thursday night game against the Broncos in 2015.
Yeah.
You know, that was the last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs. Think about that.
That's
the last time Denver beat Kansas City.
I feel bad for people in Denver.
Oh, I don't. I think it's great. Man. But can you imagine?
I don't think they have anyone on their roster that has beaten the Chiefs.
That's the last time.
Have they?
The last time the Chiefs lost to the Broncos, the Royals had not yet won the World Series in 2015.
Man,
that's an awesome thing.
It's wonderful.
That was the
fantastic
Jamal Charles fumble game, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
You didn't need to talk about that. I mean, we're focusing on the wins, bro.
I just
shut up, dummy.
It was a long time ago. My memory
now
starts to.
Speaking of baseball,
suffer.
I don't know if you heard this, but we were talking some Royals baseball, and it's not good. I'll be the first to admit it. It's not going good right now. And
then
I get a text message from Gary Dieter telling us to talk about the Yankees instead. And I mentioned that to Nate, and Nate he just said it. I want to see what you think of this. He said if Gehrig, said on the air, wants to hear Yankees talk, he can move to New York. What do you think about that? Is that too hardcore for Nate? Or
I mean, I'm surprised Nate said, when did he say that this week?
Yep, he said it on the air.
So I'm surprised that Nate said it and being in studio today, because usually he'll say stuff and then be gone, away for a couple days.
I'm in Florida just lobbing grenades.
He's on the computer. He's eating his fruit cup. he's doing that, and he's not in studio to actually face Gehrig.
What do you think when you heard that? Did that hurt your feelings at all?
Like, just disrespectful.
Just disrespectful.
Like, buddy, like, the Yanks were down 4-0. They big comeback win. Best player in baseball. Hits a bomb in the bottom of the ninth against one of the best closers in baseball. And can't even mention it on the air. Like, buddy, the Royals they're down bad right now. Obviously, it's not great for any Kansas City fan. And sometimes you just don't want to hear about it. You want to hear about the good things in life, and that's what the New York Yankees are, buddy. Like Aaron Judge, how is that guy not the face of baseball? You know what I mean?
Is he not?
I mean, they try to put Shohei Ohtani, but it's like, buddy, Aaron Judge is taking the best pitchers in baseball deep in the biggest moments of games,
yeah,
and Nate Buchady's over here just throwing dirt on him. Like, we got to...
not an Aaron Judge fan.
I know. I walk in, this guy tries to hug me like, buddy. Yeah. We're not buddy-buddy when you talk about the Yankees. Like, that's something I'll mess around
with. Said, you can move to New York, is what he said. You know?
It's just...
Steven said that it's not necessary for you to move to New York. You could get contact
other
ways. Yeah,
you could hear... I mean, I just think that was... They crossed the line.
Yeah, in honor of me, like, you got to just put a little respect on the Yankees. Like, buddy, I'm a big-time fan. You got to, like, I respect sporting. Like, I respect your fandom.
Okay. But fair enough.
And then Gary suggests that we talk St. Louis soccer, which was a sore spot for Nate this week because St. Louis beat up on Sporting Kansas City, and so that was a shot.
I'm right a corporate shill, man. I'm neutral on all that stuff. You know, I don't have
No, you can now.
No.
Tell him he can talk about it now.
You can talk about it now, can't
tell
you?
Tell him he can
the
talk
game's
about
over.
It. So I've been trying to tell him.
Tell us how you feel.
I have to be a
Marco's
corporate
begging us to break right now.
4-0. We don't need
to
break.
No, I'm all here for
4-0?
The steak's still cooking.
It is, all right.
We lose 4-0?
I mean, you got to say something about it.
I did.
4-0 against a rival? Come on, man.
It was a no-show, man. They let egg.
You just can't lay down and let this happen.
I mean,
there
was a sweet video that you put out there, like the sporting video of like
promo video.
I know you didn't put it out, but I'm saying you retweeted
I was in
it.
The
Nate
video.
Was in it though. So you, he had some.
Well,
input,
he's always in
me.
Everything.
He probably said some quips. This will look good in there.
Yeah,
you know? Dude,
Diener and Sherm show up and they're like standing outside and giving me the throat slash sign and everything. Very menacing guys, but you know.
You want this guy to move out of town. He's got a
I don't want him to move out of town.
I think he does.
I don't.
Well, this guy changes his mind every other
I'm
day.
I'm just saying, if you want Yankee talk, you're going to be sorely disappointed by this program. That's like going to the vending machine.
It's a hot topic in sports, though. They're down 4-0. Aaron Judge hits the bottom of the ninth home run.
You think a lot of people in Kansas City are fired up about this Yankees team right now?
Yeah, a lot of people that love baseball would love to hear about
that. There are a lot of bandwagon Yankee fans in town.
I mean, I've been a Yankee fan my whole life.
It's May?
Yeah.
No offense, but like, no one cares.
Buddy, what are you talking about?
4-0.
Wow.
They were down.
They didn't win 4-0. They were down
4-0. They were down
4-0. I don't know.
I
think Kansas City fans would love to hear about the fourth place Yankees. I don't
know.
Whoa. Oh, Marco.
Now, see,
oh,
now,
Marco.
Hey, man.
Turn that on the floor.
Third
Marco.
Place.
I was going to be nice, but you had one of the worst questions I ever heard the other day after that New York Yankee talk.
Man, he's digging up some old receipts.
He didn't know what he was saying. He went on for like two minutes straight, and then he didn't get his question.
I only asked bad questions, so thank you.
He carried it on for 2 minutes. Like, buddy, relax back there. Like, Yankees are, and what we, are they, hey, 4 games above 500?
We strive for accuracy. They're in third place.
Thank you.
So it's not in fourth place.
Disrespect, man. This is.
He's out.
Uh-oh.
He's gone.
He's leaving the studio.
He's out of here.
He's gone.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
He's leaving. He's not coming back.
He's not leaving before the steak comes in.
Moving back to New York? Maybe. I don't know.
He's moving to New York.
I think he's had enough beef already.
By the way, who's with him? Does he have a handler today, or what? What's going on right now?
Yeah, is he a personal assistant?
What's going on?
That's his buddy. That's his buddy that's in town.
Oh, okay.
In town for the week.
He's bringing muscle with him.
Right.
He's trying to intimidate me with
I just hope he doesn't know what car you have.
Oh, is he one of those guys who vandalizes cars?
Well, I'm just saying, if he's in the parking lot, I mean, he might...
That would be funny.
Not vandalize, but he might let the air out of the tires or
something. It's
fun.
A little black Honda that's backed into the parking spot. That one's mine. That's the interns.
Gregory, this is a beautiful tweet. Gregory just tweeted in, my 7-year-old son, turning 8 this year, asked if the Broncos were any good and ever beat us. And it dawned on me that in his lifetime, the Broncos have never beat the Chiefs. And so he just told, no, not in your lifetime. They haven't beat us, and they're not good.
What a wonderful world.
What a wonderful life this young boy has lived. We will take a break. Back after this on WHB. Hello there, Kansas City. Stephen St. John here for QC Kinetics. If you've been dealing with joint pain, knees, hips, shoulders, or back, you need to contact QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics can offer you a complimentary consultation if you call 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics is in the business of giving people back their quality of life and providing much-needed relief for chronic joint pain. And not just providing that relief, but doing it in the most non-invasive way possible using regenerative treatments from your body's own natural biologics. And best of all, you walk into the office and walk right out after treatment, no surgery, no downtime, and patients are raving about the results. Get started today with a call to QC Kinetics for your complimentary consultation. 816-412-6299. Located off 435 in State Line and in Gladstone. 816-412-6299. QC Kinetics. Back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Marco, I'm going to do a, you know, people are like Gary Dieter wants some more baseball, I guess, more baseball talk.
Where did he go, by the way?
He ran off. You pissed him off.
What did I do? I wasn't the one that called him fourth place.
I know,
that
but
was,
I think,
that was Marco.
I think it was you being disrespectful to the
right.
Yankees that really...
You told him to leave town, basically.
You told him to move.
Well, I mean, I just said if you want Yankees talk, this isn't the what I was trying to get at. This isn't the place.
Don't backtrack. You said to move.
Yeah, he said move to New York. It's what you said.
Well,
words
I just
mean something.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. Look,
I was just saying if that's what you want, if you want Yankees talk,
we could do a better job of giving you baseball updates and baseball news outside the Royals. We get too hyper-focused on the Royals and their negativity.
All right.
And so, hey, look, there's some college baseball going up. Bluma loves college baseball. Bogner loves college baseball. I don't know. Gary Dieter might love college baseball. SEC tournament going on.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get a quick a live listen in from the Auburn-Vanderbilt game. Let's hear what's going on there.
We can't turn the clock back. I know it's after midnight. We can't turn the clock back and turn it back into the mid-80s and put on a Whitey Herzog team.
So maybe no more baseball updates.
Oh, no, I was watching that game last night, and I heard that live.
Did you really?
Oh, I heard it live.
What did you think?
Yep, I heard it live, and I went, oh, that's not going to go over well.
I'll hear that tomorrow on the Border Patrol.
Well, didn't know that, but I was like, yeah, that's not going to go over well.
Marco just heard that for the first time. Your thoughts, Marco? Right.
The color commentator goes, oh, hey.
he was like, whoa.
Well.
It was, he struggled for a good, 2 minutes after that to kind of regain his focus after realizing what he just said.
There's been some things going on in baseball broadcast booths.
Man, I don't know what's happening.
I do not envy you, Nate Buchanan.
No, I'm not staying out of the baseball booth, man.
You know.
What were you doing up watching college baseball? Just awake and...
Well, Rex had a baseball game last night at 7:45. Ends at, 9:40, almost 10 o'clock. So once we got home, got the kids down, I saw that it was a tie ball game. So I turned it on to see what was going on. College baseball is awesome.
Yeah,
see Arkansas with the walk-off win earlier in the day.
Yeah.
When you get commentary like that, it really
no, you didn't. Especially it was getting late for him. I think he's been there all day doing it.
It was after midnight. He tried to.
That was midnight East Coast. That was midnight East Coast time too, I believe.
Okay, here let's see what you think of the topics we discussed earlier. This could be here's three clips that I think you could give your thoughts on each of these. Let's play Bolton 16. Nick Bolton, star linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Says the Chiefs will not be complacent. The Chiefs will stay hungry.
I know if our defense, we're definitely going to be hungry. We don't really get the respect that we deserve. Over the years, the 3-4 years I've been here and I've been watching from Mizzou, the Chiefs defense doesn't get the recognition that it deserves, myself included. As a hungry aspect of it, I can safely say that I'm hungry as ever.
How hard is it for a player that has just won the Super Bowl to come back and have that same fire and same desire and same hunger to go back and do it again?
I mean, you're a competitor. So if you don't have it, they're going to find someone that does have it and replace you and move on, and you'll be a blip in the radar. I think he's not wrong. I mean, as much as how awesome the Chiefs' offense is, the defense – also has been really, really good the last couple of years.
But they don't get the credit for it. They look at it as the weak link.
They don't, which is fine. And that's great for the kingdom because now they're going to be – they've got some players. They've got some guys that are second year in the system now that should be developing more. And it will be fun to watch that defense go out there and fly around.
Can we play the Clarks again and the Spagnolia? Because I'm just curious. You were in the locker room for a long time.
I heard.
Talk to the Clarks
about the different – what other Clarks do we have?
Yeah, I deeply apologize to the Clarks and, you know, my teammates and guys who I put in the bind.
Yeah, the people that put me in this position to play the game that I love, you know what I'm saying, the Clark family.
The Clark family.
You ever almost have that slip up? It seems like Kelsey is on purpose, but the rest of them, I don't know.
Kelsey could very well be on purpose because he just doesn't care. No, I haven't. I think.
When you retired, did you want to thank the Clark family at all?
No.
No?
No, I didn't. But I think. It's tough. I mean, it's you have to really make sure you think about it before you say it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things.
Do you have Spagnolia in there?
I heard that.
Seems like people have really wrestled with Spagnolo's name since he's been in Kansas City.
That's Spagnolia
See, just why this is why you just stick with Spags.
Leave it That's
stick with
exactly
Spags.
Exactly right.
And he's good with it, too. Hey, Coach Spags. What's up? You're not going to get all crazy with the way it comes out.
I do like the sound of Spagnolia, though. Something
Spagnolia.
About that I like.
Yeah, it sounds like a beautiful flower.
All right, let's hear. We'll play Roger Goodell here. Let's see if this will get a reaction out of Sherm. Roger Goodell says flexing Thursday night games is not inconsistent with player safety.
Flex has been part of our scheduling for quite a while. We expanded it to Thursday night. It will be used judiciously, if at all. It's a very limited time period, and it's also something that is what we would consider a higher bar. We expanded it to 28 days in the context of our fans and making sure that they have appropriate notice if that does happen. But we have data on the safety of the game. There's been no difference. In fact, it's slightly lower on Thursday nights. We don't see that. We haven't seen that in the data since we've been playing since 2006, I believe it is. So we don't think it's inconsistent at all with player safety.
I don't know why we even played that clip. I mean, I can't.
For this reason,
I
here?
Can't stand that dude.
Go on.
He's lying to everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the data says. It's not player safe. But at the same point, the NFLPA needs to stand up and stand up for the guys. Like everyone's in this for the money. You know, yeah, the players aren't getting paid any different because it's Thursday night. But the TV revenue. I mean, what Amazon wanted better games. Well, listen, that's not the case. You wanted to get Thursday night. We gave it to you, and you get what you get. Like, put your foot down. If you don't want to renew it, I guarantee another network or something else will pick it up for another $1 billion. He's up there. He's a puppet for the NFL owners, and that's all he is.
He's got the owner's arm right up his ass. He's a puppet.
Yep.
What are you laughing at over
see,
there?
We're on the same
I
page.
Get it. Nate loves him.
That's his guy.
Corporate man.
Yeah.
This guy's cranking out money. Let's go.
Yeah.
Corporate Goodell, corporate Bucati. Let's go. I'm all about the
Did you see as soon as I said we're going to play Goodell, did you see his face change? He was happy and then he got mad. And yeah, afterwards, I don't even know why we played that.
That's exactly why we played it. If you notice with Steven, he likes. As soon as you said, I can't stand that guy, he goes, go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's a great interviewer. No.
Tell me more.
He just sits up there and just spews lies about everything, and they pay him. I mean, he's making $40 million. So, yeah, the more money the NFL makes, the more money he makes.
He literally sits on the throne of lies.
Yeah.
And dollar bills.
That's right.
And hundreds. Not dollars.
That's his mattress is filled with.
Yeah.
So
they're going to use it judiciously. I don't know what you guys are worried about. He said it right there.
Yeah, okay, because the Chiefs are going to get the two flexed games. Don't tell me. Yeah, the reason there's no injuries is because guys are slower on Thursday night because of the fatigue they feel from the game 3 days ago.
They can't run fast enough to hurt each other.
This is the move on.
Does it make it worse that you have to play a divisional opponent too, or does that help?
It helps. It helps with preparation. Depending on like if it was the second time you might have played them that year, you're pretty familiar. I know you know towards the end of OTAs, Coach Reed will do like the last four OTA practices where there'll be emphasis on the three other divisional opponents, and then we'll do one of the Lions. They'll be the first game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be the four practices, and we'll just emphasize them a little bit more and talk about them and kind of install some plays, not necessarily the plays that we'll actually run, but right. like install plays like a normal week to get those guys used to how that stuff gets sent out. And they'll be prepared more so. I mean, you see them twice a year for the last 10 years. Like, you should know them pretty well. It'll be interesting to see because they necessarily don't know. They probably have a pretty good idea offensively what the Broncos are going to run, but they actually haven't seen it on film yet with Peyton there. So it'll be interesting.
All right, let me play one more clip. Let's play this clip from Pat McAfee on the touchback rule. That we talked about a little bit earlier, the new rule for kickoffs in the NFL. He is also not a fan of the new rule.
So I was being told by people behind the scenes, not only at that particular position, special teams coordinators, which I'm friends with, like seven of them who actually, you know, I keep in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
Head coaches don't, GMs don't like this.
Nope.
Nobody really likes this rule potentially being an NFL rule. Which would be a fair catch on a kickoff going to the 25-yard line. It's the most amateur Bush League-looking bullshit I have seen in a long time when
Pat.
It comes to the NFL. I know there is a strike zone that was put into football so that there couldn't be any more head-hunting shots. I understand that they changed some rules so kickoffs can't have as many people back, so there isn't as big of a run-up so that we can save people's brains. And a lot of people said, this isn't football anymore. It still is. There's still big shots. There's still entertainment. There's still speed. There's everything good. This particular rule is absolute garbage. This is disgusting.
So dumb.
It is not. This is not what football is. Okay. You think about the kickoff. It's like one of the greatest things of football. It is. It starts the game, obviously, but it's also one ball, 11, 11. Let's go. Let's try to get as much as possible. Let's make incredible plays and tackle. Them thinking about putting this bullshit in is alarming. And I guess it's just the competition committee that's in on it. Nobody at the NFL level who has been around professional football or professional humans in special teams that have jobs because of kickoff coverage and kickoff return and everything and strategy that can play into that whole thing want this rule. So I hate it, AJ.
Anthony Sherman.
He's not wrong with anything he said. He is not wrong. There's guys, I mean, look at Slater for New England. He's been in the league for, 16 years now probably. And he's made a living on kickoff return, and special teams. And they're getting real close to getting rid of that entire phase of football where it will just be offense, defense. You'll start on the 25-yard line, and you'll go. And then, you know, we should just maybe just add another – maybe we'll just make first downs 5 yards because they just want to see as many points as possible. So we'll do that. To eliminate the third long third downs where the quarterback could get hit again. So we'll just give the competition committee some other thoughts to just get completely ruin the game.
Like, what do you like? This is, I think, we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but honestly, you played for Dave Tobe for a long time. How will this change his approach? Will it change his approach? How do you think he'll react to this change?
I can guarantee you he's not in favor of it. I mean, it's just sole reason is like his job is special teams, and you're taking a big portion. Like he coached Devin Hester. Like he'll be the last, or Dante Hall. Like they'll be the last guys that could impact the game on special teams in the NFL.
I mean, we saw too, like Tamarick Vanover was one of the best return men when he played for the Chiefs. Dante Hall is one of the best ever. I mean, you've seen teams also try to, on kickoffs, you know, kind of coffin corner that kicker pin at the 1 yard line, so they have to return. That's over now.
Yeah, that's over. You know, I mean, you get, it's just, I mean, what it's going to be is like, you think maybe if it was like, if you fair caught inside the 15, it goes to the 25, where like at least maybe they could get the kicker to kick it to like the 20 and like see it, like keep it in play. Because if that was the case, I think Tobe would do something like that. But you can't do that. I mean, if you kick it to the like, you don't want to give them the ball at the 40 every time. So you're gonna have to kick it deep, and they're not gonna. Why would you return it with the possibility of not getting to the 25? I mean, yeah, you have the possibility of scoring, but at the same time, it's like just take the 25, let our quarterback get the ball, and we'll roll.
But he's really aggressive with returns, and so do you think his instruction to whoever the return man is, if you get it inside the 5, do you think he'll still want him to run it out or fair catch it?
No, inside the
5 or 10?
Depends on the team that they're facing. And then their kickoff coverage, which I don't know if you'll get any on film, but like how good their kickoff coverage is. Like, you know, there would be times when Green Bay was terrible on special teams, and we're bringing it out regardless of where he kicks it. Like, we're bringing it out because they're not great on coverage. They misfit. They move out of their lanes. They don't cover well. So there'd be times that like, hey, we're taking everything out. I mean, there was a time back early as we took everything out. I mean, I remember Nile Davis caught the ball at like the 9 deep in the end zone and took it out and took it up the sideline to like the 50 or maybe even a touchdown. Like it was awesome when you could have those plays and you could really change the game off of a couple of plays on special teams.
That was the big play that started the game on the right foot in that first playoff game that you guys won
in
against Houston.
Yes.
That kickoff return by Nile Davis.
But it's all gone. They're gonna completely get rid of it, and it won't be something that guys can make a living or even – I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they just get rid of the kicking game in general.
But this – I mean, it's not a stretch to say this will cost some guys the roster spots.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. It's going to coach a lot of guys roster spots that have – that might be, you know, second, third string positional, but an ace on special teams, and they're on the roster because of that.
And he'll lose his grasp on a roster spot where normally Dave Tobe could get on the table. This is my guy. I get a couple of spots. Yep. I want him, and maybe now.
You've seen even more so the last couple of years of I know New England's been doing this for a while, but there's a lot of teams that have just kept special teams players. They have their, you know, everyday position that they might have to go to meetings for and stuff like that. But for the most part, these guys are on the team to dominate on special teams and all four phases. And they have gotten rid of two of the phases by taking away kickoff return and kickoff. Now, I mean, I think Tobe will still take his shots on return because he does have some really cool plays and designs. And maybe you can catch a team that just expects you to touch it, you know, fair catch it to really – you know, get going and catch them on their heels.
And the teams won't be as good as cover because they don't do it as often.
Yeah.
Like you said, they may not be keeping these specialists.
Yep. I mean, that's what Drew Tranquil was that for a long time with the Chargers. He was a great special teams player. I mean, not saying he wasn't a great linebacker, but his first couple of years, he was a guy that you had to be on the lookout for on special teams. You know, everyone knew where he was, where he lined up, what his moves were, because he was one of those guys that would go down there and could cause a fumble or could cause a big hit that gets his defense fired up to then come back out and shut him down.
I agree with you on everything. Does it surprise you that Nate is a big Roger Goodell fan and loves these new rules for special teams?
Nope. Doesn't surprise me one bit.
I don't remember saying any of that.
You thought it. I can tell by the look on your face.
No, man, I think it's garbage. I love kickoffs. I think it's one of the most exciting parts of the game, and I'm in favor of a lot of the stuff they've done to make the game safer. I do think the game's a lot safer than it was 20, 30 years ago, and I think that's good because I want to see the great players playing longer. But this part of it, I just feel like they've gone too far.
Well, they just can't do both. Like I agree with you. Like there is some player safety in being able to make it to a certain point. But don't claim player safety and then add a game, add overseas trips, and add Thursday night football, and then flex Thursday night football.
They talk out of both sides of their mouths.
Both sides of their mouths.
They cite player safety when it's convenient.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
to what their needs and goals are. Anthony Sherman, thank you for staying for the whole hour. We
appreciate I mean, if Nate wasn't here, maybe Gary would be here too.
But he missed out on all this delicious steak that Tim made.
Missed out on the meat, Gary. We'll take a break.
What do you got? Tri-tip.
Well, I'd like to try that tip. Yeah. Let's have it over here. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.